The average commute in Connecticut is about 25 minutes. In the New York metro area, it's about an hour, and travel time gets longer if you use public transit. As part of a collaboration with the Solutions Journalism Network, WSHU's Davis Donovan discovered one commuter with a door-to-door travel time many would say is unsustainable.
Grace McFadden joined WSHU this summer for a one-day-a-week internship. Our studios are in Fairfield, Connecticut, and Grace lives in Madison. That's a 45-minute drive, mostly on I-95, if you luck out with traffic. But Grace doesn't own a car.
No particular reason. I just haven't found the time to get around to getting my driver's license, and it's not really that important to me.
Grace goes to the University of Connecticut in Storrs. She lives on campus, so for most of the year, she can just walk everywhere. But this summer, she made the trek to Fairfield.
So yeah, I wake up at around 6 in the morning. I leave the house at about 6:30. Then I have to walk to the train station to take my first train. After that, I take a second train, which lands in Bridgeport. Then I take a bus from Bridgeport to WSHU.
We wanted to know what Grace's three-hour commute was like, so we gave her an audio recorder.
Is this picking up at all?
And told her to document her commute.
I am just getting out the door. It's 6:31 right now. That's honestly running like a little tiny bit late for me. Right now we're doing probably my favorite part of my commute, which is walking to the train station. Then I will be taking the train station in my hometown to New Haven.
That's Shoreline East. It's the train that connects southeastern Connecticut to New Haven's Union Station, where Metro North trains go on to New York City.
I am definitely running late. We'll see if I catch this. Hopefully I do, because if not...
She'd have to wait 2 hours for the next train. Both Shoreline East and Metro North reduced their service when the COVID-19 pandemic began last year. But Grace steps up her pace and makes it to the train platform in time.
Train approaching. Please remain behind yellow line.
The first leg of Grace's trip on Shoreline East takes half an hour.
All right, I have now made it to the New Haven Union Station.
Union Station is one of the busiest train stations in the country. More than 2,000 passengers get on or off a train here every day. At least, they did before the pandemic. Grace is just halfway now through her commute from Madison to WSHU Studios in Fairfield. And after work, she'll have to do it all over again, backwards.
I think it's unfortunately a story shared by too many Americans around the country.
Yona Freemark is with the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C.
You know, we have inadequate transit from a number of perspectives. And one of the fundamental problems is that it's difficult to get between areas that are not major downtowns. So in the New York region, it's relatively easy to get into central Manhattan from areas all over the region. But getting between different areas of the region, like between Madison and Fairfield, is often very difficult because of poor transfers, infrequent service, and slow service.
The average commute in the New York metro region is almost an hour each way, and experts say that's one of the longest for any major U.S. city. Nonetheless, Freemark says there are plenty of places that would be even harsher if you don't own a car, like your typical American suburb that's not on a major East Coast artery.
The New York region has the best transit in the United States. It's the most frequent, it's the most available, it's the most lengthy in terms of the areas that it covers.
So, if you want to find a solution for Grace's problem, Freemark says you need to look outside the United States.
In other parts of the world, like in places like Switzerland, regional trains are much better coordinated and systematically frequent in a way that is not common in the United States. That makes it possible to get around that country in a way that is much more simple and much more convenient than you see in places like Connecticut.
That's something a lot of American visitors to Europe have noticed, like PBS travel show host Rick Steves.
Switzerland is laced together by an efficient train system. Its trains are fast, frequent, and easy to use, taking you effortlessly and scenically from downtown to downtown. Our next stop, the capital city, Bern.
Freemark says there's a few reasons to look to Switzerland for solutions.
One is that they use a standardized scheduling system that ensures that there are very easy and frequent transfers between trains, which means people don't have to wait. The other is that trains are scheduled to come very frequently, every 10 minutes on many lines throughout that country. And the third is that they've improved the tracks to make sure that speeds are as quick as possible.
But it would take money to do that in the U.S., like a lot of money. Like the $1.1 trillion in the infrastructure bill passed this month by the Senate, maybe.
Which states like Connecticut could use to invest in improvements that speed up trains, that, you know, make sure that trains are more frequent, that improve service even to areas like eastern Connecticut that currently have pretty inadequate commuter rail service.
Freemark says whether the state uses the money for big transformational improvements, that's another question. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says he wants to use it to replace 100-year-old railroad bridges and fix highway bottlenecks.
This bill means more to Connecticut than just about any state in the country. We do have really aging infrastructure. We are sort of got barbells at either side of us in Boston and New York. We've got to be able to move around.
And that's important. But Grace, our intern, says she loves the idea of a Switzerland-style suburban transit system.
In my dream world, I walk outside my house and I have a car that just drives me to my job, obviously. But like, I think the most practical solution is to have more trains running. Just having more options for the trains in particular would have been very helpful.
She says after this experience, she's decided she wouldn't take a job if it required this kind of commute every day instead of just once a week. And she says she thinks it might be worth it to get her driver's license. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
The story was covered with the support of the Solutions Journalism Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to rigorous and compelling reporting about responses to social problems.